£65,500. If you've lost money on an investment sold by a bank, even if you no longer have it or the paperwork, just text LOST to 60777 to discover how much you could be owed. That's LOST to 60777. You don't need a claims management company to make a complaint, and if unsuccessful, you can refer it free to the Financial Ombudsman.
Channel Radio Weather.
Some thunderstorms in parts, with the rain picking up at times. It's going to be staying warm otherwise. Temperatures at a low of around 9 degrees Celsius.
This is Channel 2 Talk Radio.
If you see somebody showing any of the signs of a stroke, you don't have to think about it. You just dial 999. Use the FAST test. F, face. Has their face fallen on one side? Can they smile? A, arms. Can they raise both arms and keep them there? S, speech. Is their speech slurred? T, time. Time to call 999 if you see any one of these signs. Act fast, make the call, dial 999.
Rift Accounting. The accountants of tomorrow, today. Riftaccounting.com.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
Looking for fast, reliable web hosting? Or maybe streaming your own station's content? Then look no further and head over to all the W's simplecast.co.uk. Easy web streaming. That's all the W's simplecast.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com.
Follow us on Twitter at Channel Radio 2 Talk Radio. Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, you're here a week early.
Yeah, I know. I'm completely out of sync.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Bird's swanned off to the Alps for a week.
Again?
So, yeah. She's all over the place, isn't she?
I hope she doesn't go off piste.
Well, no, she's cycling up an Alp, isn't she?
Is she? Oh,
yeah,
she's
yeah. You know what she's like.
Not skiing.
Yeah.
But she loves it. She
yeah,
thrives
right,
on it.
It's all right coming down, isn't it? It's used to going up that's the odd bit.
That is, yeah. Our little calves are going to be...
burning.
She'll need a massage.
Yeah, something like that.
A bit of eucalyptus and lavender oil.
I've been following her Facebook page on it. She seems to be giving it stick out there.
Is she doing it for a charity? I've lost track.
No. I think it's a competition she's in, I think.
Amazing. Well, Bird, if you are listening with your headphones on... good luck and mon dieu up there.
Yeah. Well, last time she was away in Rwanda, she tried to ring in, but I missed the phone flashing.
I know, I saw that. She was furious. How can you miss that phone?
Well, you can't see it flashing, really.
Well, I'd like to say, Paul Andrews, a big happy birthday. To you.
Oh, to me? No.
Yeah, last week.
That was ages ago. That was last week.
It was last Thursday.
It was indeed, yeah.
So you're already looking forward to your bus pass next
year. I am, yeah, yeah. Next year's my bus pass, yeah.
You still look quite young and perky, I think.
Yeah.
But then I am also old, so,
It's all relative.
Yeah, it is. And I was talking off air earlier on about some elderly people that I visited, and you have only that to look forward to.
Yeah. But hold on a minute. Ladies get their bus passes before men.
Well, I was reading in my mother's Daily Mail, because I'd never buy the Daily Mail.
I never would.
But I do get my mother's.
Nor the Sun.
I learn all about medical health from the Daily Mail, because my GP sure as hell doesn't know much. Sorry if you're listening. But what I was going to say was that What was I saying?
Elderly people.
Yeah. Elderly people on the bus passes.
What I was thinking about the bus pass, do you think, you don't really need it, do you? You've got a Porsche and you've got a Merc.
Who, me?
Yeah. Do you think you should give it back and let them save the money? And they could donate the money somewhere
else? It's not going to cost them anything, is it? Because I'm not going to use it.
Oh. Well, there are no buses around here
anyway. Because there are no buses where I live. There is no bus service.
I can't imagine you getting a bus.
So even if I wanted to, I couldn't.
I tried to get my mum, Ruth, to from Whitstable to the Bexley Heath, to the Salt Cave that she goes to for her COPD. And it's just impossible. Or Tunbridge Wells.
Do you know there's a website? There's a KCC website. I can't remember exactly what it's called. But basically you can plot a journey anywhere in Kent using any form of transport.
And find that nothing goes there.
It tells you how long what the route is, how long it will take you to get there, and how much carbon dioxide you will emit by doing it. Yeah. So you can walk, you can bicycle, you can go by car or bus or train, and you can plot your journey. But it's quite hilarious because when they first launched it, I went in there and tried to plot a journey by public transport from the North Kent coast to South Kent.
Yeah.
And it takes about 12 hours. And you have to change 15 times. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Maybe you need to get your own sort of, what is it, those penny farthings at your age. You could drive one, probably had one in the garage somewhere.
I had a racing penny farthing.
Yeah, I can imagine you did. But I was just listening to the news just now. I'm sure the listener heard it. And they were talking about grants to get for rural Kent to get. Because honestly, if you go to just outside Canterbury, there is absolutely no. I'm having my photograph taken. Mm-hmm. I hate my profile, Tacey. Absolutely no Wi-Fi at all.
Yeah.
So I was in Waltham, which is like 6 miles from Canterbury.
Oh, no, it's
nothing.
Crazy.
It's crazy. No sat nav. Nothing. Yeah. It's like going to the moon.
Yeah, it's crazy. Southeast England, and we've got appalling coverage.
I'm amazed that they're mentioning it now on the news. Like, it's been like that for years. About time.
Yeah, I think there's certain members of the government have woken up to the fact that they've been messing about doing other stuff. And the reason that people are angry is because nothing that's important to anybody has been focused on. It's all been political correct, wokeness and snowflakery that they've all been pursuing, and everybody's going, yeah, well, that's great, but there's no buses, I can't get Wi-Fi, I can't get more than 8 megabits to me internet, and
you're trying to work from home, and
the government are telling me that I'm not productive. I wonder why.
And I think it's interesting that our show today, we're talking about with the lovely Daryl and the super Tracy. She hasn't been with me for 2 years on this show, but,
2.5.
Yeah, she's been trying to avoid you.
I gathered. But, it's interesting that what we're going to be talking about today is, youth and helping people get into jobs and into the workplace. But if they haven't got transport...
Well, it's a classic problem. There are a few schemes about, but you know that I've been heavily involved, especially when we had a studio down on Romney Marsh.
Yeah.
And it's insane. Romney Marsh is one of the most heavily unemployed areas in Western Europe, and it's exactly 12 miles from Ashford, which is one of the biggest growing towns in Western Europe, and where they can't get enough people to do the jobs, but there's no way of getting from one to the other.
Crazy. And I notice every time I drive to the studio, listener, which is about 6 miles from Ashford, 3 miles, not even that, is it? The construction that's going on, roads, houses, is incredible. Every time I come, it's gobsmacking.
When they're building a new junction on the M20 for Ashford 10A. Yeah. But the problem, again, this comes back to what we were just saying about government finally starting to focus on things that matter to people. Yeah. There is no public transport link of any use between Romney Marsh and Ashford, and Ashford is the nearest big town to Romney Marsh, unless you go to Folkestone the other side, but most of the jobs aren't in Folkestone, they're in Ashford, and there's no real public transport between the two. And what would it take to put a daily bus service on? A huge amount, exactly. If you're the government, would it really? But no, they don't do that. And therefore, half of Romney Marsh is unemployed because they can't get anywhere. I tell you what was interesting, though, and I don't know where it got to. I did a piece on it a couple of years ago when they first launched it, which was moped hire.
Okay.
And basically, there was a company that was doing low-cost corporate moped hire. So basically, your workers got a moped, a helmet, insurance, training on how to drive the moped as a package. And it was like 60 quid a month.
But then I see as a mother, I don't know about you, Tracy, as a mother, I would be quite concerned about a young person going on these roads on a moped. I know that's a bit negative, but I just think they're very vulnerable.
But you've got to get, if you're going to...
I prefer a bus, if you don't mind.
If you're going to move, you're going to move. And well, again, the problem is buses and trains aren't particularly very useful anymore, are they? Because they go to fixed places.
You're independent on a moped, I get that.
You know, yeah. And increasingly... businesses aren't in town centres. We've had this discussion so many times about high streets and all the rest of it. Businesses are scattered all over the place, and therefore that's why there aren't any bus services or rail services, because they don't go anywhere, because we don't live in the same way that we used to.
I sometimes think they just need smaller buses instead of these great big double-deckers mm-hmm. that you see with like three people on them.
You don't need all that. It's only a minibus type thing. But
having come back from Copenhagen and Sweden, I mean, the way they do transport, same as Hong Kong, you know, ferries, everything. We've got rivers. We don't use them.
Yeah, a lot of European cities have gone back to using trams and stuff like that, haven't they?
Yeah. But the cycle paths are just incredible in Sweden and Copenhagen and Denmark.
But the thing is, it's like I just got back from France and
Mon Dieu.
Yeah, but there's similar things in France. What we don't ever understand about trying to copy other people is that the topography and the geography is radically different. Yeah. In apart from Holland, which is far more crowded than we are, we're a very crowded island relative to other people. And the layout of the southeast of England is such that the kind of train services and things that you get, if you look at Japan, which is one of the most advanced train users in the world, but Japan is blobs of massive urban blobs interspersed by nothing, yeah? So running a train between Kyoto and Osaka is a no-brainer, yeah? But where do you run a train? We literally just discussed this. If you want to go from Tunbridge Wells to Whitstable, how the hell do you do that?
I get that. But still, while they're building these roads, which they are still, and we've seen them, you know, here on the journey here, they've got to start thinking about putting in wide cycle tracks while they're doing it somehow, while they're reconstructing new roads, especially, I mean, Romney Marsh has got space for stuff. You know, you're saying about urban.
Yeah, yeah.
But the country has space for cycle paths.
Cycle paths, I don't have a problem with putting cycle paths at places. But, you know, I mean, are you truly going to get a job in Tunbridge Wells and cycle from Whitstable? No, you're not.
I know that's
the practicality of it. Yeah. Is that cycle paths are great in towns and, you know, in small journeys, but the reality is we're trying to move people about.
And the government is cracking down on cars, and they want us to certainly, you know, start using public transport. But if there ain't any,
but there isn't any,
it's a bit difficult. I'd like to ask you a very important question, Paul Andrews. Who might our sponsor be today?
The show sponsor today is MyZones, the portal for businesses to promote things that they do and to earn money out of helping other people promote things that they do. So do check it out, MyZones.com, MIZONES.com. And thank you so much for sponsoring today's show.
Most welcome. And also in the studio, we have the lovely Tracy Ferguson, as you've already heard. And she's at Tracy with an I, FergusonCoaching.com, and also Daryl Lynham. It's terrible writing, I have to say. Is it Lynham?
Lynham Dumont.
Lynham Dumont. Very French, I think, the Dumont.
Oh, mais oui.
Oui?
Yeah, yeah.
Losange.
Bon chance. Yeah.
And one half of Chris Moon. Mon.
More.
Mon.
More. I am writing that bird.
Yeah, you should be a doctor.
I'm a doctor. Trust me.
But I can read their website, which is mycareersoptions.co.uk, and you can follow them on My Careers Option, and you can follow the lovely Tracy Ferguson on at TAZI64.
Absolutely.
They're there.
We're going to be talking to these guys during the course of the show. Of course, we want to hear from you, all the businesses out there in the southeast of England. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. You can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me. And please use the hashtag BBunker. Otherwise, we'll never find you. And as it's approaching the end of the summer holidays, we've suddenly got all tweeted up again today. The last couple of weeks, it's been a little bit quieter. We've been down to just a billion or so tweets, yeah. But we're now back in the trillion. So we've got quite a few.
What is the date today? I've got no idea.
It's 27th of August.
I'm not really sure where summer went. Has it gone fast for you guys? It's just flashed.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I don't have children. Well, I do, but they're older, so you tend to lose sight of school
summer holidays.
But
still, the summer has gone very quickly, and we're just having this lovely last boost of sunshine, which makes me very happy. Mm.
Absolutely. Right. I've got a tweet, which I'm going to read, which is from the lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors. And they said, we've tuned into the Business Bunker, Paul. We would love a hearty Business Bunker shout out if we may. Of course you may. And they've actually included some nice photographs as well, because we do moan at them when they don't put photographs of their lovely properties.
Yeah.
So thank you. That's Michael Park Surveyors over there in Rochester.
I'm not really sure that was hearty enough, though. Do they mean you should do it like a pirate?
No, that's Bird.
Is that Miarty?
Bird's a pirate. She's from Plymouth.
You can do pirate. You can talk pirate.
I could. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Miarty. They wanted something a bit more arty.
I tell you, this really made me laugh. There was some kiddies' playground, right? And I don't know where I saw it. I think I saw it on Facebook or whatever. It was some kids' playground, adventure playground, and it was called Pirate World, right? And at the entrance, there's a big photograph of two pirates, and it went, the pirate code. Pirates are never rude, they never take things from other people, and they're never naughty. And I thought, you don't understand the concept of pirate, do you, really? Yeah, I mean, that is not a pirate.
No, that's a fairy, I think.
Yeah.
Why, what were you doing in a pirate?
No, fairy? I saw it on Facebook, I said.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry. I was looking at some tweets, because Tracy's been tweeting. At Tazy64, you can find her. Hello.
Cool. I've had a tweet also from Neville Gaunt, who says, we'd love a shout-out, Paul. I'm looking for ambassadors for YP2 Grow. I'll give you the proper address in a moment. The only qualification is if you've a story to share with young people, just tweet me for the details. And you can tweet Neville. It's Neville Gaunt, GAUNT. Or you can find out more about what he does or tweet at YP number two grow.
That's very interesting, because we were just chatting about Neville Gaunt, weren't we?
We were.
Yeah.
And we were chatting about young people to grow.
Yeah.
Which is the thing that Neville does, and he does a lot of work with young people, especially in Asia, actually, in Pakistan and India.
I think we're going to hook up with him, with my new husband, who works a lot in developing countries and emerging markets. So, but it's trying to track Neville down. He's a very busy bee.
Yeah, well, he's always out and about around the world, isn't he?
And travelling, yeah.
Right, I've got an early shout for this. This is well early.
Right.
But unless you get in with things like this, you know, you're going
to... It's not Christmas, is it?
Almost.
Oh, no.
Almost.
Oh, no.
Almost. Join Kenwood Trust for their James Bond-themed fireworks spectacular, featuring a performance from Marylebone Jelly. It's an event to not be missed, and it's on Thursday the 7th of November from 4:30 until 8:30. The gates open at 4:30 and the fireworks start at 7:30, but there's loads of activities and there's fairground and all that kind of stuff. And it takes place at the lovely Kenwood House, Kenwood Place, in Kenwood Road in Yalding, which is just outside Maidstone. And if you want to find out more about it or to book your tickets, if you go to eventbrite.co.uk/annual fireworks spectacular.
Well, you've upset me now, talking about November, dark nights,
yeah.
You know, dark at four. Did you have to?
Yeah.
But I know it's a good gig, but...
Yeah, but you've got jacket potatoes and hot dogs and soup.
No, we're on to lovely salads, aren't we? And summer and... Anyway.
Picnics.
Yeah, picnics. Nick picks.
Good.
I had some lovely squeaky cheese. What's it called?
Squeaky cheese.
You know that?
What the hell's squeaky
on the
cheese?
What's it called? The squeaky cheese.
Halloumi.
Halloumi, yeah. Have you never squeaked it?
Halloumi.
Have you never squeaked it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very squeaky. Yeah. So my new husband did, we had beautiful Riverford organic burgers on the beach and some squeaky cheese on the top. It was delicious. A little glass of something.
Very pleasant.
About 9 o'clock last night. So I'm sorry, I'm not talking about November.
Yes. Okay, well, you can do a tweet because I noticed that people have been including you in the tweets. So
well,
you can do a tweet or an email, I don't know.
You can blame them. I think I'll read an email until I've got my Twitter up properly. So Fruit Bowl Media, have you heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
They offer podcast studio hire, audio content creation and radio media training, as well as host presenter experience packages. And all the details can be found on kentbusinessradio.co.uk with a little /studio. And also, the University of Kent Business School have a free business soundbite. Breaking down barriers, achieve professional success at Kent Law School in association with Girling Solicitors. Sibson Building Canterbury Campus is the venue. And it's September the 26th. I don't mind talking about September, it's not November. And that's 5 p.m. to 8:30, and you can find all the details as usual on kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KB for Bertie, S for Sugar.
That's a free event, a business soundbite events that the university put on a regular basis. They're really brilliant, really good fun.
They sound good. Mm. And then the next Jobs in Kent com, which is this is an actual Twitter thing I'm reading, a Twitter handle, Jobs in Kent com. Careers Fair in partnership with Job Centre Plus and the Medway Council, and that's on Thursday the 19th of September on the upper floor of Pentagon Centre in Chatham.
We're going to be talking to Tracy about that in a bit.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
How very apt.
Yeah.
Don't just throw the show together.
Yep.
Do we?
I've got it up on the screen here as well.
10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And we'll be talking to Tracy about that. But there are more than 30 employers who will be there giving free bite-sized 10-minute workshops on finding your talent, choosing a career path, presenting yourself via CV and interview. And you can find
details. You can go home now, Trace. She's done your bit.
KentBusinessRadio.co.uk/Pentagon. Still looking at choosing my career path. I'm 61.
Yeah.
Still can't really
You've
decide.
Got plenty of time.
I wouldn't bother.
I could always drive a bus because it's well needed.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what I thought.
I quite fancied being a train driver at one stage. They own a packet. Absolute packet. Quite fancied it.
Yeah, right.
What's wrong with that?
Do you know what? I'm going to play some cheeky tunage.
Tunage?
Yeah.
Is it about your French holiday?
No. It's relevant to a guest, kind of. Well, relevant to a guest. It is so tenuous, this. It's almost unbelievable.
Schools Out Forever.
Do you know what?
Alice Cooper.
That was my first choice. And do you know what? We haven't got it on the database.
Gosh, that's a scandal. We have to tell Mikey.
What we've got is this.
Oh, me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have a weird talent. That is my only talent. Guess the intro.
Mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and he started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Oh, what the mama saw, it was against the law. The mama looked down and spit on the ground every time her name gets mentioned. Papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Take me away, but the
friends, let the story leak. Now when the radical preach come and give me release, we's all on the corridor's wing, and I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going, I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rosie, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. With me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin and our fabulous guests who we're going to be talking to shortly. That's a bit of Paul Simon.
Me I love that song.
Me and Julio. Down by the schoolyard.
It's quite a rude song if you actually listen to the lyrics, but I do actually love it. I love Paul Simon, and they're timeless, aren't they, Simon and Garfunkel?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Still play it. It's just my washing up music.
Yeah, Diamonds on the Soles of Your Shoes is one of my favourite tracks. Lovely track.
Got some tweets, Paul.
Have you?
Shall we read them?
Yeah, go for it.
We've had one from Neville Gaunt. Did you mention him?
I mentioned Neville, yeah.
Okay, I won't mention him. Hello, Neville. Had one from Tracy Ferguson. Said she's saying thank you, Chris. Have a safe journey. Obviously, chatting to someone. Spinner Jet, who recently spun his jet on my front path, so to speak. He was in my
good job. It wasn't your back passage, wasn't it? Really? Yeah.
We've been down your back passage before, haven't we, Dawn Anderson? You're 60. I came back from a lovely, brilliant conference in Copenhagen where we had some really, really good business contacts that we met. And then we explored Sweden and Copenhagen and Denmark and bicycled around. And when I got back after a month, the weeds had grown in my front. It was like Miss Havisham's house. It was like somebody had left a year ago. So I called Spinnerjet in desperation and he came and he spent, because the weather, if you remember, suddenly it just started raining every day. So he spun his jet around my front path and then he went around my back path. Why is it when I say something very normal?
Yeah.
Anyway, minced down the side, and he spun his jet down there. He's very handsome. And I happened to have my female gardener there at the same time, Tracy. She said to me, he's very handsome, isn't he?
I haven't met him yet, but he does look
very handsome.
He also looks like a very nice man.
He is a very nice man. My new husband gets a bit flustered when I spend too much time chatting with him. So he did.
I did notice the video you took of him bending over, hosing down your back
stop,
passage.
Though. He doesn't stop. And unlike some that I videoed, he doesn't have a builder's bottom. I have got some in my back catalogue.
You claim this, but it's never been seen.
No, because I feel it would be nasty of me.
Yeah,
but
really.
If you ever upset me, is there? It was the days of Romney
You can
Marsh.
Put it up for the crack.
But anyway, so he did a great job. And I know that my Ruffy Tuffy Gardener, I have a Ruffy Tuffy Gardener who I only use now and then for Ruffy Tuffy stuff. He said he'll never get rid of them weeds. He won't be able to do that with Spinajet. And he did. It's marvellous. Mm. But he was great. And he also cleaned my bins, which haven't ever been done since 1066. He did them. And various other things and he cleaned the Honda. I've got an old dog car which has done 220,000 miles. Honda, brilliant car, still goes. Anyone that's listening, buy a Honda. And my dog had been sick on a long journey and couldn't get rid of the smell, just smelled disinfectant and sick. So he steam cleaned it all. Brilliant job. So thank you, Spinajet. Why was I talking about him? Because he was.
Well, I don't know. I lost the plot halfway through that.
Toast Herne Bay, a lovely little cafe there just off Herne Bay High Street. They're saying, talking about smoothies. They're back on track after eating sort of bank holiday weekend. And who else? Oh, Bosun Emafoyi, who's my buddy in Nigeria. He's talking to me about tea.
As you would.
Mentioned you, but yeah, he was asking about tea, and I've been talking to him about tea in Nigeria, which is great. Sound of Spitfire, hello to you guys. They say they're at work, but they'll be tuning in on catch up as I drive on the A14. That comes from Chelmsford, doesn't it? Or is that the A12?
He lives in Spalding, so
he's obviously a fan.
He's been on the show as well.
So he, because
you were on his show, weren't you?
Yeah.
So he'll be listening on catch-up, which is a really good way. I always listen on catch-up. Got an hour journey, 2 hour journey.
We've had a tweet from Diamond Circle Weddings as well, spreading the love on a Tuesday in a Business Bunker show with a very interesting gif of Ringo Starr with the piece.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I always call that a gif. Embarrassing, isn't it? It's really embarrassing.
It's a gif.
I know. I've called it a gif for years. It's so embarrassing. GIF. And I'm a so-called social media influencer.
A gif is what you clean a sink with.
I know. Well, I don't. I use Method. Or a little bit of eucalyptus.
We needed to know that.
The lovely Denise Wilson is saying she's talking about smoothies and stuff, but she's also looking forward to listening to Tracy and Daryl. And she's had your cards, hasn't she?
She's going to be telling us. Yeah.
So yeah. Tracy later on is going to be telling us about these amazing cards.
I'm going to do one more tweet and then I'm going to talk to Daryl, I think.
I think I will too. Why not?
Yeah. We've had a tweet from Athelbray and they say, hello, Business Bunker. Can you remind all of our embedding well-being 3-hour sessions at Brands Hatch Place on the 26th of September from 9 till 12? It's only £99 per person. We've just had feedback from a delegate that trainer Ellie is the best trainer I've ever had in my career. So a guaranteed fun, informative, lively event. If you want to find out more about that, if you follow and talk to Kate and Keith at Athelbray Limited, Athelbray Ltd on Twitter.
Kent Tweetups are tweeting in saying they're listening in. They do free networking around the Canterbury, Whitstable and Faversham area.
Who's that?
To you, Kent Tweetups. Which is actually me, but never mind.
No. Isn't it Gerard that also gets involved?
Gerard Yamavicius.
You can't say
you
it,
say
can
it
you?
Much better. Go on, you say it.
Shekamavicius.
Yeah, but I'm
you
not sure.
You can't say it. Go on, you say it.
Gerard Yamavicius.
Shekamavicius.
Yeah. I think I say it better.
Lithuanian, don't you know?
Yeah. Hmm. He's told me 100 times. Hmm. I've been to Lithuania.
It's beautiful.
You've been to Lithuania just recently, haven't you?
Yeah, for a friend's wedding. She's Lithuanian and her partner, but they both live and work in this country. And, yeah, it's beautiful, very, very rural. Yeah, stunning country.
Shall I tell you a fact about Lithuania?
Yes, please.
Which surprised me when I found out that in the Middle Ages, Lithuania was by far and away the biggest country in Europe by miles.
Really?
It was huge, yes.
What's happened to it then? Is it being
well,
cut
it's
up?
Got broken up, but Lithuania used to include Finland, a large bit of.
Yugoslavia, was that?
Sorry?
Was Yugoslavia part of it?
No, no, no.
Or am I miles?
No, you're too far. Yugoslavia is further south.
You've got Russia, you've got Latvia.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think, because we looked at it on the map, because apparently Napoleon went through the town that we stayed in one of his battles, and so we found out quite a little bit of the history about it.
I'm quite interested in the wedding. How traditional? Well, how traditional was it?
It was traditional? A very traditional wedding, yes. And
what was the food? Was it sort of wild boar and a carp?
No, it was lots of stuff that I couldn't eat, but I can see Paul pointing, so I don't know whether we've got to talk to
him. Yeah, no. It's just funny that you should say that.
Talking of boars.
No, my Jamie, when he left school, he passed his driving test, right? This is how stupid it is. He passed his driving test, and 2 weeks later, he and a mate went on a driving tour of Eastern Europe, having only just passed his driving test. But he was driving in Latvia, and the Black Forest encroaches on Latvia. Mm. In the middle of the Black Forest, they found a curry house which sold curried wild boar.
Oh, wow. That must be amazing.
And he had a curried wild boar curry.
Well, my friend Michelle Rue Jr., who loves me, darling, he goes every Christmas. He goes shooting in France still for wild boar, which he cooks at Christmas. But I diverse. So, what did you eat? What were the things you couldn't eat?
So it was lots of pastries, but for the.
Are you gluten free like me?
Yeah.
So it's a nightmare that.
Yeah, but I think they did.
Creamy things.
Yes. Yeah, I think they had a buffet for the evening. So we just went and picked at food. So.
And how Russian is it? Is there a Russian sort of influence with the dancing? Did they do the Cossack and stuff?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okey-kokey?
It was lots of English music, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they like the English pop music.
Yeah, things have moved on a bit since your day, Jules. Yeah. Since the Middle Ages.
Although I'm thinking Dr. Zhivago.
It was really close to the Latvian border where we were. Mm.
Do you know, thank you for that, and that's all very interesting. And
it is.
It is interesting. I didn't mean that to sound nasty, but I'm conscious of the time, and I want to talk to Daryl.
I do.
Yeah, and I know what you're like. I don't stop you, we'll be on to thyroids and everything before.
Well, I've just taken my thyroid shot.
Oh, see what I mean?
1 p.m. on an empty stomach.
I nearly mentioned thyroid, but I think I got away with it.
It's all really out on the Twitter. Mm.
Anyway, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show, Daryl from My Careers Options.
Hello.
Daryl, thank you so much for joining us again. We've talked to you a couple of times over the last couple of years about what you do, but I want you to just give us an overview again, and then we're going to talk some more about some of the new kind of opportunities that we've got going on with this. So just give us an overview of what My Careers Options is and does.
So My Careers Options is an online assessment tool that we've developed with Cambridge University and Careers England that helps students 11 to 19 come up with ideas of careers they would be naturally good at. Mm. It looks at their verbal reasoning, numeracy, spatial awareness, and then their personality around their likes and dislikes and interests.
So it's much broader than just looking at qualifications and old nonsense like that.
So that's basically in a nutshell. Mm. We started the business 2017, really, and it was a year of building.
Yeah, of course.
We kicked it off kind of the end of last year, and it's been a real learning curve. So we've been to all of the shows. We've met loads and loads of schools. We've got schools that are using the system, so I've spoken to lots and lots of parents. So actually all the feedback is really, really good.
Hmm.
But what, you know, coming on to what we were talking about, with regards to what's changed, I suppose what we're looking at doing at the moment is changing the model of the business in some way.
Mm.
So one of the things I've found over the last 6 to 8 months of speaking to schools and stuff is they all love it.
Yeah.
I think it's a brilliant idea and they really wish they could have it. However, nobody's got any budgets, nobody's got any funds, nobody can do anything.
Mm.
And unfortunately, it comes down to a question of why would we pay for this service if we can get that one for free?
Mm.
And the free one doesn't necessarily have to be a good one.
Mm. It's just free. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So kind of we've really racked our brains about how we can, because ultimately, obviously, we're running a business and we want to be able to pay the mortgage. And
of course.
Stuff. However, we also want to do something good that's going to give a generation or the next generation something they can use that's tangible, that they can, you know, help them come up with some sort of path.
Just before we go on to the offer, which is we're really keen to hear about, but I just want to make the point about how important what you do is, because it's my experience that we in this country especially have been absolutely god-awful careers advice. It's just been appalling, you know. And I'm not blaming anyone, because most of the people charged with giving careers advice or giving career support have had no budget, no support, no help, no information, don't really know how to do it. You know, in schools especially, you know, somebody gets allocated to teaching careers and, you know, they go on a couple of training courses and then that's it. And that's of not much use, to be honest.
I actually heard on the Scoff and Quaff Superior Show, which is on next Tuesday at 11 a.m, I actually had somebody on talking about careers in hospitality. And in the school, the children and some of the parents thought that hospitality, working in hospitality, meant working in a hospital.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah, yeah. And even if you do know what hospitality is, you so many people don't understand the opportunities for progression in something like that. They think about working in a hotel as a waiter or a porter or as a chambermaid. They don't think beyond that. You know, they don't think about, well, actually, I could get a job working in Bali. Yeah. I could get a job as a general manager of a hotel in London. You know,
I could be on a super yacht.
Yeah, yeah. There's huge careers to be had. But like everything, you have to start at the bottom. But coming back to Daryl and My Careers Options, this is one of the reasons why I think it's an absolutely fabulous product, because it's starting to open up people's minds and thinking about all the opportunities that are out there.
It is, and I think it's really funny because you kind of learn things. Even recently, I've come across situations where people have real tunnel vision around what somebody is capable of, or what they should do, or where they should go, without looking outside of that box. I did have it was a really funny story, really, because I had a recent assessment of doing some mentoring and stuff, and basically let the students do it for free. And a couple of them come back, and they were kind of uninspired, if you like, by a couple of the suggestions. Bearing in mind, you know, some of these kids want to be outside, they don't want to be very academic. So it's looking outside of it. And I was trying to put it in context about a good career, a good like future and all that sort of stuff. And the only way I could explain it was my dad was a crane driver. So to me as a kid, that was like, you know, I know it sounds really rude, sorry to any crane drivers or lorry drivers, but to me it was like, it's a driving job, it's not academic, it's not, you know, everyone aspires to be a banker or an accountant or a doctor.
And yet I think of it as a really exciting, you know, outdoor job.
Well, this is the point. So it came up that this kid came up with a suggestion around something that the teacher didn't find particularly aspirational. And when we sat down, we talked about it, he said, you kind of need to look, it will give you ideas of what you're good at, but it won't do the work for you. So I was trying to explain that, obviously, my parents all cleared their mortgage in their 30s. We went on holidays every year. My dad travelled the world. He was one of the highest paid. It was like, he had a fantastic career.
As a crane driver. Wow.
Travelled all over the place. My mum got to travel with him, and he actually became a chief of an African village. So I'm the son of a chief of an African village.
Are you?
Because I thought that, Daryl. When I saw you, I thought that.
Which African village?
I don't know.
Oh, we need to know.
I'll tell you what we'll do later on. I'll tweet you the name. Yeah, it's a really long name. But it's an exciting part of his career was he went through all these things. He's worked on diamond mines. He's, you know, all these different things. But when I finished the conversation, the feedback was, I hadn't thought of it in that context. You look at it and think, you know, people that have had amazing, amazing careers in banking, for example, that give it all up because they want to go out and drive lorries because they just want to be on the road.
Yeah.
So it's personal, isn't it?
Gemma, it's really funny. We ordered our shopping online from Sainsbury's. And a few weeks ago, on a Sunday afternoon, the Sainsbury's truck drives up. And it was a mate of mine, Dave, driving the truck. I'm like, what are you doing driving a Sainsbury's truck? He said, I took early retirement from my job. Yeah. He worked in finance for Kent County Council. He said, and I got bored. So I got a job part time working as, he said, do you know what? It's the best job I've ever had. I've never had so much fun in all my life as doing this. And you're absolutely right, Daryl. This frustrates me so much that we just don't understand careers. We just don't understand the world of work. And there's no reason why a young person should. Yeah, they've got no experience of it. But we don't seem to be able to open up their minds to the possibilities of it. When we talk about careers, we often talk about vocational things like medicine or accounting or law, as if they suit everybody. But, you know, I know people that are really good at maths, but they'd hate being an accountant, yeah?
Exactly that conversation. So yeah. One of the lads I'm sort of mentoring is really interested in – he's really, really good at business and he's really good at maths and stuff like that. So kind of the direction he's been pushed in is towards accountancy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know if it'll be – I don't know if it sounds very exciting. But when we talk about what he's interested is in sport, football and stuff like that. I'm like, well – why don't we open it up? Why don't we look at maybe an apprenticeship or something in a sports environment, but within the accounts section? Yeah. So you're doing what you're good at, but you're working in a sector that's really exciting to you personally.
Yeah.
And he's like, he just assumed if you're going to do finance, you have to go and work in an accounts.
But I love the fact that you opened it up for him, which is something that he may not get unless he's talking to you.
But that's exactly the point. Unless you've got someone like Daryl on their platform opening it up, nobody's seeing this. They just everybody looks at a dumbed down version of the world of work. A classic of what you just said. My youngest son went to drama school. Yeah, he went to the Bristol Old Vic Drama School where he did a degree in finance.
Wow.
Yeah, but he did asset finance for film and TV production. You know, just a million miles away from working in a bank or an accountancy firm where you're raising money to produce a film or a TV. Completely different, same base skill level, completely different. And that's what we miss, and that's one of the reasons I really love your platform. So let's start to explore what the new model is now then.
Obviously there is an element of frustration in the fact that we can see that people see the value in it, but obviously there's budgetary issues and stuff like that. We're also getting lots of interest sort of internationally and looking into the business sector, so with recruitment, apprenticeships, and looking outside of education as such. So we kind of, as a business partnership, if you like, we've decided that what we want to do is we want to try and make sure as many students in the UK get access to it as possible. So we've had to think of how we can actually do that. So what we're looking at doing now is we're lowering the cost of the license. So a school can license it for £50 a month for all their students.
Fantastic.
It's literally a no-brainer.
I mean, that must be less than their coffee bill.
If you've got 1,000 students, it's silly. However, we also recognise that's still always going to be sometimes too much for somebody somewhere. However, what we've looked at is a way in which we could allow local businesses or national businesses to sponsor 1, 2, 10, 1,000 schools, whatever they want to do.
Oh, okay.
So you could have somebody, you know, in Sevenoaks, for example, that wants to recruit from local schools in their area might turn around and say, well, actually, I'll sponsor the 3 schools in my local area because probably that's where my future apprentices or employees or customers might come from. And they might want to use that as part of their corporate social responsibility or work in a community fund. Or it might just be a good way of them promoting their business to an audience they want to be in front of. And it's also going to then make sure that that school gets it free of charge. There'll be like a banner in reception at the school. We'll make all the contact and do everything for them. And the companies can pay it monthly. So it's really quite a straightforward, simple
I love solution. That. I'm in. I'm going to buy one of those because I love that and I think that's a really great idea. It's a no-brainer in terms of cost. As a business, you're giving something back to the community. Depending on what type of business you are, you're probably helping yourself as well and also, you know, just promoting your business. Just as an aside, a while back, I was approached to go and do a talk in a school. And I went, I recognise the name of that school. Did he used to be called so-and-so? And they went, yeah. I went there. And they went, oh. I was expelled. And they went, yeah, okay, well, maybe you don't want to come and do a talk here. And that was it. I never heard from him again.
How much time do you actually put in, you two put in to this?
We're a full-time job. That's all we do now.
Wow.
So I was running a marketing business as well, and I've kind of wound that right down now, so I don't do anything on that.
So when you're going, because you're nationwide with schools, so how do you cope with that?
We've got our first international school in, I can't remember now.
So you're not just nationwide, you're international.
International, yeah, as I was just mentioning before, we went on air, we're going to India to Bangalore in September.
That's a long commute, Daryl.
It is a long commute. I'll have to leave early.
Set your alarm. Yeah, take your sandwiches.
Get a letter to
take. Where'd you get the bus one for that?
Not Romney Marsh.
So
we're doing a lot of pushing. We've sort of done quite a lot of work with the Department of International Trade. They've kind of been really, really helpful in helping us develop and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Just coming back to the sponsored school offering.
Serbia.
Yeah.
That's
Serbia.
It went out of my head.
And now it's back.
Coming back to the sponsored school thing, though.
Yeah.
So, if I'm a business and I think, right, I want to do this.
Yes.
I guess there'll be some businesses that go, I want to sponsor my old school.
Yeah.
Or I want to sponsor the school where my kids are.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about if I'm a business and I haven't got a clue?
That's fine. Then we can find schools that would be interested. To be fair, we'll take that all on board.
Right.
So on the tweets that you'll see online, you can see that there's a link that I've put that you can go through and request a PDF. It just put your email details in and it will send you a PDF, explains how it works. If you're interested, you just give us a call and we'll sort it out. As I said recently, we've had one that said, right, there's three schools we specifically want to sponsor. So I'm going to speak to them next week and say, actually, this company want to sponsor you, so you're going to have access to it for free.
That's incredible. I mean, as Paul says, that's a no-brainer then.
Yeah, exactly. But then you also get some companies, hopefully we'll get some companies that say, actually, we have a fund of money that we would like to invest in Kent, for example. Just use it across a number of schools. And then we'll obviously speak to them. Obviously, you know, I work quite a lot with Lee Academy Trust, so there's a bunch of schools there. I'm sure we'd all be over the moon to have access to it for no cost. So, yeah, I don't see that as being an issue. It's just really, we've set ourselves challenges. There's, like, you know, over 3,600-odd-plus schools in the UK. Start small and grow.
Yeah.
So we're looking for major sponsors for all of the colleges and FEs, or FE colleges, if you like. So there's 257.
Right, what's an FE? Sorry.
Further education college.
So just before uni.
Jargon.
Yeah. Exactly. So so we're looking for sponsors for those. But then what we're looking at is Kent. So in Kent, I thought it was 100, but I was told the other day, close to 120 schools. So for us, what our aim is to get Kent to be the first county in the UK that all students have access to it for free. So it's calling on all businesses and anybody in Kent that wants to get involved to help us, reach out through any of our sort of the website, call us, or go on the links on the Twitter that's going out at the moment.
And presumably they're inspiring youngsters, but presumably it would give them an opportunity for businesses to hook up with the
So obviously there'll be promotion on our website and there'll be brand awareness on the actual app in the school of the sponsor, fueled by whoever it is that's actually doing it. Apart from that, it's obviously going to make... So we were talking just before we went on air as well with regards to the Gatsby benchmarks. All schools have a requirement to follow the Gatsby benchmarks. However, as Paul was saying, sometimes that could be just the PE teacher's been allocated as the responsible careers person at the school. And Gatsby benchmarks has 8 levels that need to be achieved or they have to strive to achieve. And it's hard work. I mean, one of those is personal guidance. And every student is entitled to individual one-to-one twice in their time at school. Well, when you've got 1,000 kids,
not going to happen.
How do you give? Exactly. If you've only got one careers, you know, one careers person or two, how do you actually do that and it be worthwhile? So what we're trying to do is give them tools that actual 15 minutes or 20 minutes that's spent with that careers advisor is talking around something of substance. So that's the aim. So call in everybody, all businesses in Kent that want to help us, then absolutely please get in touch.
And of course, the government are about to roll out T levels in 2020, which is going to have a massive impact on schools. My honest opinion is I don't think many schools are going to offer T levels because currently they just don't have the wherewithal. A T level requires a minimum of 45 days a year work experience, and schools just do not have the contacts with business to actually make that happen. So I think it's going to be a long draw. I like the concept of T levels. I just don't see many schools doing it. It's just not going to. I mean, colleges will. But schools, I don't think, will because they just don't have the wherewithal at the moment. But again, with sponsored My Careers options, you could start to solve that problem. So it ticks a lot of boxes.
I was reading in my mother's Daily Mail that I borrow, would never buy, that Ed Sheeran, who's worth something like 162 million billion or something, he got all Fs in his music exams. F for everything.
Oh,
and there he is, you know.
I love to retweet it because it drives everybody nuts. He's Jeremy Clarkson on GCSE exam days. he always puts the same kind of tweet out every year that says, if you failed your A-levels, don't worry, so did I, but I'm just about to board my yacht in Monaco. It's a piece of truism, isn't it, that an awful lot of entrepreneurs and self-made people didn't particularly do very well at school.
I think it was Roger Daltrey. I was listening to him on radio being interviewed, and he said his teacher said, you will never amount to anything, Daltrey. And it's like, who? Roger Daltrey.
It's a bit fairly obvious, really, because school's only cater for one particular type of person in terms of academic qualifications. And many years ago, Howard Gardner, who was professor of education at Harvard, wrote a very interesting book following a study in which he said that 70% of young people just do not suit academic qualifications. So school is only ever geared to 30% of the people.
Well, you think of how structured it is and how, you know, you go from lesson to lesson and you do this and do that. You were talking earlier about how it's changed. Obviously, recently we've taken on, my son's actually come away from working in London, has come to join us on the team. He's taken over all the social media, all the digital side of the business.
His name?
Kane.
Hello, Kane.
But when taking him on board, what we need to do is consider what his role is within the company. So it's not a 9-to-5 job. If our job was 9-to-5, we would have closed by now, purely for the fact that all of our audience are looking at weekends and evenings. They're at work during the day. So understanding how we take him on as an employee and as employers, having flexibility that his hours can be dependent on what he needs to be doing. So he could be working at the weekends, but then he doesn't need to necessarily be in by 9, for example. So it's adapting your business.
Flexible.
And I think that's where school needs to evolve and change, doesn't it? It needs to be flexible for, you know, the level of concentration one student might have is very, very different to that of another. And I know it's all complicated. And
also their home environment, what's happening at home, they're eating for breakfast, how they're doing at home, to even get to school.
The thing is, this is all politically driven. Many years ago, our politicians decided that most people ought to go to university. And they didn't stop and think, was it what people wanted? Was it necessary? Was it the right thing for most people? No, they just decided everybody should go to university. So they set up this whole social engineering program where now everybody thinks that unless you go to university, you're some kind of failure. And nothing could be further from the truth. It takes all kinds to make up a world. And there are all kinds of talents that exist in the world that have no relationship whatsoever to academic activities. Everything from rock stars to footballers to, Ben Stokes smashing the Aussies to bits at the weekend have nothing whatsoever to do with any kind of academic behaviour. And we just lost sight of the fact that there's a whole range of human activities that fall outside academia. And we just don't cater for it.
I remember when my son was at school and he's got hypermobility and he got to grammar. And of course, grammar only does, especially Simon Langton, it's all cricket, rugby, football. He can't run because of his hypermobility. And I used to beg the PE teacher, just do some rowing, just do some shot, just do anything that doesn't involve fast running because he cannot run. You know, he runs like an old wobbly man, but great at anything else, you know. But they didn't. They only catered for rugby, cricket and football. That was it, you know. Hardly even any tennis even at a grammar level even. Yeah. So, you know, we need to, if you go to a private school, you'll get boating, yachting, horse riding, lacrosse, you know, whatever. Badminton. It's over to you guys to just open that whole picture, isn't it, for people?
I think it's a whole shift that needs to happen, and it won't happen overnight.
No, absolutely.
And you can't do it single-handedly.
But what you're doing is starting to help that whole process, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to have to join the newsroom in a minute. So, Daryl, can you give us a shout again for your website so that people can come and have a look and find out more about what you do?
So the website is www.mycareersoptions.co.uk. You can call us on 0333 043 0065, and if you're interested in finding out more about the sponsorship opportunity and helping us sort of deliver this to the kids in Kent, then on the Twitter feed that you'll see on today, you'll be able to see the link that will take you through and send you the information, or just ring me.
Yeah, and we'll put the link on the Kent Business Radio website. Fantastic. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Daryl some more, and we're going to talk to Tracy. But for the moment, let's go to the news.
On the hour, Channel Radio News.